Welcome to the Money Buddha podcast, where I chat with people who I admire, people who really follow the things that light them up in business and in life. And our guest today does exactly that. She's a former city girl turned off-grid farm enthusiast. Her career path included dog grooming, horseback riding lessons, medical aesthetics, and now managing a llama trekking farm called L'Amazing Adventures. She's truly embraced a diverse range of experiences. This adventurous spirit thrives on pushing herself outside her comfort zone, always seeking new opportunities for learning and growth, both in terms of personal development and lifestyle choices. A lover of hiking, traveling, and all things animals, she starts her days bright and early as a morning person. With now 20 animals under her care, including camels, llamas, alpacas, horses, and emus, she embodies a minimalist approach while striving for self-sufficiency. So with that, let me introduce you to José Goto.
Hi.
Hi, José. You look all cozy with your wood stove in the back.
Yes, thank you. Pretty cozy little log cabin.
Looks really cozy. So yeah, I was really excited to talk to you today. I mean, for so many things. So first was kind of like your business, really. When I remember when you started it, and I saw it on Facebook or
Yeah.
wherever being shared, I was like, oh my gosh, like I love seeing things that are different. And
Yes, me too.
I felt like it was really something that you probably like mixed your own like personal passions together and just started a business. Like from my perspective, that's how I felt. So can you tell us about, I guess, when that started? You were a city girl and became
Yep. So, I was raised in the city, never liked it. And my mom pretty much told me when I had enough money, I could buy my own horse, and that, that's when I would get one. But she didn't think that by 12 years old, I would have saved up enough money to buy the horse and keep it for a year. So then she kind of had no say anymore, and she's like, "Okay, you can have the horse." So I bought him when I was, I think, around 12, 12 or 13. And then I needed to have a car to go see the horse. Then I needed to have a hobby farm to be able to have the horse in my backyard, so I could see him every day. Because, sometimes, like when you live in the city, the farms, you have a good like 20-minute drive, sometimes even 40 minutes, depending on where I was keeping him, to get there. So then, it pushed me all through my life to get those goals to eventually have my own hobby farm. And was it 6 years ago? I think it's 6 years ago now that I finally purchased my small hobby farm, brought the horses home, and then I wanted to make it into like a real little hobby farm, because just horses, it's not like a real hobby farm. So found two alpacas on Kijiji, went to see them, and I was like, I'm just gonna go see, they're so cute. And the second that I saw them, I'm like, oh my God, like that's it, I'm bringing them home. So went and picked them up the next day, and I just love their like little curious, like awkward little presents. And they're just so like, they're just so odd but funny but cute. I just love them. And then I, of course, treated them like, my little pets and my like a dog. I would bring them on walks, I would go jogging with them. And then I would bring them to the beach. So I would bring them in my car. I had a Mazda 3, and I would fit the two of them in the back seat. And I would bring the dogs in the front seat. I'd go to the beach. The dogs would roam around, have their fun, and the llamas would go swimming and hang out in the water, like on those like really warm beach days. So I would bring them there to cool off. They absolutely loved it, and then I posted it on Facebook. So everyone that saw that were like, "Oh my God, that's amazing! Like, tell me next time you go, because I want to witness that." And then there was just too many people that wanted to come witness it. So then I kind of got the light bulb moment. I'm like, well, I mean, my business wasn't as busy in the summertime, So I could do that on the side, and it would help to pay for the animal food and the farm. And you know, everyone knows that farming is extremely expensive. There's a very like super high overhead cost until you can actually, you know, make some money. And then when I first opened, it went viral. And then I kind of just like hurried and got more llamas and expanded. Realized quickly that my farm was too small. So then I purchased a bigger one, and then I've been working at it since. So,
Oh my gosh, that's
yeah.
awesome. I love that story. I
Thank
always
you.
like hearing things when it just happens, like it kind of just happens and you're like, oh, okay. People are
It definitely
interested.
was not in my thought process, because I had already a pretty successful business. Like, I used to do permanent makeup, aesthetics, and medical aesthetic procedures as well. So it's kind of like a mix of everything. And I did enjoy it. But in my heart, the animals were always like my number one passion. So then when it got too busy, I had to actually quit that business, just because I could not manage to do both. I was just too busy. And I've been doing it full time ever since.
Oh
So
my
it's been
gosh.
four years now. It's going to be 4 years in July. So, three
Wow.
and a half
My gosh. And so, okay, and also, I guess from the start, you always knew you loved animals and wanted a horse. I think that's so awesome that that your mom didn't think you were probably gonna actually buy a horse. But
years.
then when you like probably worked, like how did you save money up to buy a horse at that age?
I would babysit my brother and other kids, which was, I think, the worst job I've ever had.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah. Me and my brother have a good relationship now, but back then it was like cats and dogs. And then I would clean the house, so I made them fire the cleaning lady so I could get that money and do it myself. I would do like the lawn care, and I would like for Christmas or birthdays, it was always cash. So I wanted no presents, just give me cash so I can put it in my savings for my horse. Yeah. And then once I got the horse, then I got like a real job. So that's when I got into the dog grooming.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did that for at least a good 6 years, probably about 8 years, that I was like just like pretty much on call whenever they needed me, because I was into like college and
Right.
busy schedule. But yeah.
Oh, wow. So, like, did your family all know, they all knew what your goal was? You were saving for a horse?
Oh yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. They just didn't think that I would actually
They
be
thought
stubborn
it.
enough to make it happen. You know,
Right,
you
they
don't
thought
think
it was
sometimes
cute.
like you don't think like a 12-year-old will be able to save like, you know, $3,000 to purchase a horse. But they would pay me, I think it was $15 per day to babysit my brother.
Okay.
So that's what I did full time in the summer, since I was able to babysit.
Wow.
Help them, help me in a way too. So
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, that's great. That's awesome. Actually, side note, when we went for a birthday party at L'Amazing Adventures, someone had invited us there maybe
oh,
2 years
that's awesome.
ago. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so I think he was seven, he was 6 or 7 years old. He's eight now. And after that, he kept telling me, oh, mama, like, I want a horse. And like, we've never talked about horses. We've never been to like any horse,
Oh.
like, stable, like we've never really had horses around or like no one that has a horse, right? So I thought that was funny because I was like, wow, that's great. Like, do I mean dream? Like you'll have to save a lot of
Here's
money.
your
Yeah, that's what I said. But I'm like,
money.
he might, like he talks about it sometimes. He doesn't seem obsessed about it, like, you know what I mean,
Yeah,
that much right now, but he seems to like mention it like here and
yeah.
there. Like I feel like it's actually a real, it might be a real thing, so we'll see.
Absolutely. And like, the animals are so like therapeutic, like growing up, like doing the horseback riding lesson and then having my horse, because I started at 8. horseback riding lessons. So I was already riding. I already like knew a lot about horses. So by the time I bought him, like, I was able to train him and do all the stuff that I needed. But it's just like whenever I had hard times growing up, like, my horse was there. It kept me away from boys for a long time because all I cared about was the horse. I spent all my time at the barn. That's all I wanted to do. It was like my second home.
Oh, that's beautiful, actually. It's nice to have that place where you know that like you really like feel that sense of peace and like
Absolutely.
belonging and like just connected to it.
Yeah.
It's special to hear. I feel like a lot of
Yeah.
people kind of probably miss that. So you're just kind of roaming around with nothing else to do, like nothing better to do.
And it did give me a very good purpose and a reason to like push through in life and to save my money and to work hard. It just I
Really.
think it's why like my whole life I've been like always like a positive person and like a pretty like happy person. I mean, still some challenging times, but
Yeah,
yeah, the
sure.
horses are what pretty much rescued me.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Like, that's great. I love
Yeah.
that. Oh, I love hearing those things. So tell me about I guess having a farm, I guess, like and also you talked about you live off grid.
Yeah.
So like I guess that's more of a like all of it as a lifestyle, but like also business-wise, like what would you say, I guess your days look like? Like, do you have a routine in the
It
morning?
varies. So busy days for sure. Especially that not that I've been alone doing the whole thing by myself, but like it's been my dream and I do have amazing people in my life that came around when I needed the help and helped me tremendously and were there to support me and help me. So that was like a huge part of it. And I don't think I would have been able to do it like if I didn't have the support from other people. I actually burnt myself out and got into a really bad depression for at least like 3 years of it because it was such like a different life like all of a sudden, and it was a lot of building up the business that overwhelmed me from it going viral and me not expecting it. Like I thought I was gonna do like maybe one walk a week, something simple, and then I got fully booked for like 3 to 4 months ahead, 7 days a week. Our like scheduling system had like messed up because of the overflow of people, and it actually ended up screwing up and booking like 5 walks a day. And like each walk lasts like 1 hour to 1.5 hours, but like that was pretty much equivalent to like walking 15 kilometers a day over top of answering all the messages, over top of taking care of the animals, over top of developing it. And so yeah, that was pretty overwhelming. And then when the smaller farm got too small, I had to buy a bigger farm. So I found the land. It was a raw land because I couldn't find nothing that had already stuff built. And NV Power quoted us $40,000 to bring the power to the land. So I was like, hell no, I'm not paying $40,000 for power. And then on top of that, like, $500 a month for the utilities and all that stuff. So I'm like, well, in the back of my mind, the off-grid living was always like something that I aspired to do. And it kind of gave me the push and the opportunity to just go with it and figure it out as I went. I used to do backcountry camping. So, I would have everything in my backpack. I had ways to cook my meals. I had ways to do everything very, like, in a very minimalist way. So, like, living out in the bushes for a week with zero power and zero luxuries was fine for me. So, building an off-grid property kind of made sense, I guess. More challenging than I thought. It's so many learning curves. Like you had to learn how to bring power, how to do the plumbing so it wouldn't freeze, how to like do the water for the animals as well. That's still something that I struggle with. I'm sure there's an easier way. Still have to figure it out. And then also like the layout of the land. I have a very hard land to figure out the layout. Lots of waterways, lots of ponds and the river, and hills. And then, you had to figure out like where the driveway went, where you're going to put the placement for everything, how to do fields, how to do fencing, how to build a large barn. I mean, it's like a steel building, but it's like a large barn that I have people that from my friends and families that came to help. And we put it on together by ourselves. Then I had to learn how to build the stalls and the extra room inside. Then the log cabin, I had to figure out, how to finish the inside because it came as a shell. Anyways, too many things to name that I had to learn of. How to fix and run a tractor and do all the yard work with it. Yeah, it's a never-ending learning curve.
Right.
But it's very rewarding, and now that everything is functional, I can actually enjoy what I've built and created. So it's not as stressful. I can actually spend quality time with my animals now, and focus more on growing the business because I had to stop for a while, and tone it down so I could finish the land and the barn and, make it functional.
Right.
But now I'm at the part where I'm ready to expand, not expand, but like work more on getting the business like perfected. I
Yeah.
would say, I guess. Yeah.
So you were just kind of like keeping it up, like so that
Yeah.
you could do both, but obviously, you
Yeah.
have to get everything set up, like personally, I guess, like all of those,
Yes.
like
Yes.
physically, the
And then you
it's
also had the COVID stuff that everyone struggled during that time. Like, it's not just me, but all the prices going up, and I was right in the middle of building the land. So like from 1 week to the other, I'm like, okay, I can afford this building. That would be perfect. And then like a month goes by and you're like, all right, I think now I'm ready to order it, or like, put a down payment on it. And then somehow the prices went up like an extra $100,000, and you're like, holy shit, like I can't even afford what I need. So
No.
I ended up building something that was much smaller than what I wanted, and I had plans made and everything, and financially it was just not an option anymore. So eventually I might expand a little bit, but for now we work good with what we have.
Good. Oh, that's great. I love when people do that too, when, because I feel like a lot of us will want something, but we kind of have tunnel vision, so we can't like unsee what we really like, the big dream. But it's like sometimes it's like, look, you don't actually need that. We can make this work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
And I was bad. I was guilty for having the tunnel vision. And my mom has given me a lot of very wise advice, and I actually listened to her, which is why I have my barn now. But
oh,
was
good.
hard deciding too. Like, there was so many decisions. It got so overwhelming. But like now that like I'm finally well and everything's functional, like I'm so grateful and so happy for what I have now. Yeah.
Yeah. And like while you were like now looking back at it, you're probably like, oh, like it's all worth it now, and like
Yeah.
doesn't feel as bad as how it probably felt in the moments of like, oh my gosh, what's
Yeah.
going on? Like when
Yeah,
everything.
in the moment, and like, there was a lot of like negatives that happened too. And I think it's because like my mindset was really low. And like I had like a few animal pass away all like together when I was like at my lowest point. It took me a while to climb back up that dark place. And then like, everything that my tunnel vision, everything that I wanted and needed, or I thought I needed, fell apart, and it took like an extra year to finish the project than what I was thinking. But I think in these days we want everything finished and done now. Like, it's all about having in the now, but everything takes a process, and you have to follow the process.
Mm.
And that's just how it works. Yeah.
100%, right? So many
Yeah.
lessons in that when that happens, when you're in
Yeah.
it. And then
Absolutely.
sometimes there are pivots, or sometimes it's like, it wasn't the right person or the right time to do this, or I don't know. It's,
Yeah.
you can
I
kind of,
tell myself like everything happens for a reason. And sometimes you don't see the good in that reasoning, but later in life you see all the good it brought you at the end, even with all the negatives that happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And also you said like when it was overwhelming making all those decisions, one of the things that I learned like a few years back that made such a big difference like for me is that there is such a thing called decision fatigue, which is when you're making
Absolutely.
too many decisions, like you can only do so much in a day. You can only, do you know what I mean? You only have enough energy for if you're
Yeah.
at your best, right? So
Yeah.
especially when you're like at a low, like energy wise, and like, do you know what I mean? Burnt out. It's definitely
Absolutely.
like the smallest decisions are hard to make.
Absolutely. The smallest little things can like something the battery of my car being dead, and then the water would be frozen, and then the power would be out because there wasn't enough sun, and then the tractor would have a broken part, and then the four-wheeler wouldn't start, and then it's like everything that you had as a backup would just keep on breaking, and it was just like it would just put you such in a dark hole because like nothing would ever go good. But like once you figure it out and you have like a like I had to figure out how to fix stuff and how to fend for myself, and like I can say honestly this winter has been very smooth sailing, surprisingly. Very happy.
Good.
But it's been very smooth sailing. I haven't had a lot of hiccups. Very thankful for that.
Oh, that's great. That feels just like, probably like
Yeah.
on a cloud after all that, all of
It,
those
yeah,
things. Yeah.
absolutely. And I've been like on cloud nine lately too. I did lots of work on myself, but it's like
Yeah.
it's nice to be like positive
Feel like
and
yourself again, like just kind of have
yes.
that. Oh,
Yeah.
good.
Yeah. 'Cause the farm life is something that like I have so many people that come to me and like, oh my God, you're living my dream life. Like I'm so jealous. And I'm like, yeah. I thought of it as a dream.
Yeah.
But once you actually do it, sometimes you realize that it's a lot more work than you think. And there's a reason why not a lot of people live that dream, is because it is really a labor of love. You have to love it because you will hate it so much if you don't do it for love.
Right,
Yeah.
I get that. While
Yeah.
you're in it, like if everything's breaking down, and then it probably makes you question, like, why am I doing this? Or do I really want to do this? Like, all of those things just
Absolutely.
kind
And
of.
I've had the contrast of the two lives. I've had the very simple city life, and then I went to farming, but not just farming, do it off grid, and really rough it out. And like I had to, I lived about a year and a half that I lived with like no power. First I had a camper. I lived in the camper up until December. My solar system was defective, so I didn't have any power to boot up the propane fireplace.
Oh
So I
no.
would sleep in my minus 10 sleeping bag, and I would wake up. It was like minus 5 outside. You could see your breath. I had no shower. I had no toilet. I had no running water. And then once I got my cabin delivered, then I had a wood stove, so I could keep warm. I could cook my food on the wood stove. And I do have like a well that I could get water from, but it was not in the house.
Right.
So I lived for almost a year with none of those luxuries as well. I would have to do a 30-minute drive to go take a shower or do my laundry, or get any kind of luxuries. So really roughing it out, and it was a very good learning curve, and you managed to like appreciate all the small things in life after. Like the first time that I was able to take a shower, cold showers, I didn't have hot water. The first time I was able to take a cold shower in my house, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like so much luxury.
Oh my gosh.
Now I do have hot showers.
Oh.
And it's like you're just so grateful for the small things. When you live in the city, you don't really appreciate those things. You don't really think that it's something that you won't have the luxury of having. And like just being able to like wash my dishes inside. Like usually I had to go outside at the well and wash them, freeze my hands off. Wasn't very pleasant, but yeah, just like all little things like that that people don't realize that you have to sacrifice, like you know. And if I had to go to the bathroom, I had to walk like 5 minutes down the driveway to like the porta potty that we had for like clients and stuff that came for visit.
Oh my gosh.
So you know, in the middle of the night,
No
you know,
way.
-25, you have to get dressed and you have to go out and walk all the way there and do your
You
business.
really think like, do I really need to go? Can I wait? Like, yeah.
I would definitely wait until the very last minute.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's
Yeah.
so eye-opening for me because I can imagine, I can like really see myself like with your story, that shower, that first warm shower must be like every day you're probably like, oh my gosh, this is the best. Like you probably
It
still have that feeling of like, I'm so grateful right now, like every time you take a shower and it's
Yeah.
warm, like for
And
all of
like,
those reasons.
yeah, and like like every time that I did like, you know, a little task as I went, like it was just like so rewarding. Like, oh my God, I finally have my bathroom finished, or I finally have like the walls in the bedroom done, or I finally have like organization, because it was just, and it's small, it's just like 400 square feet, a very small cabin. So then you have to downsize everything you have. You have to make sure that everything has its place, everything has a purpose. You can't clutter because there's no space for it. So a very minimalist and cool lifestyle, really. Yeah.
I've always loved like tiny houses and stuff. It really like, for some reason, I'm so like, when I see something like that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to know all about it and see all of it. Like when there's
Yeah.
videos about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's just, I don't know, so cozy. Like there's just something about being a minimalist, but like especially housing. Like when I see tiny houses or small cabins, like I don't know, there's a cozy like feeling about it. Obviously, once it's
Very
done and
cozy.
functional. But I can imagine like where when pipes like freeze and stuff, like obviously there's a lot, there's a whole other side of it that we don't see
Yeah.
TikTok or Instagram, right?
It's also very difficult, like if you go on if you try to have a vacation, because this lifestyle, so I think over the last 3 years, that's another thing that I've learned. Farming is, you're working every day, you never have a break. And even though the tasks for the day aren't that big, your mind is always thinking of all the things you have to do, because it's never ending. There's always something. You never really have a day off. And so for vacations, it's like now, instead of taking like weekdays off, I just work straight through for a whole month. And at the end of the month, I have 7 days, or every 2 months, I'll have, you know, 7 days, or like a good 10 days of vacation that I'll try to take. And I'll have like the employees come and babysit the farm, so I can have like my week, or like, you know, 10 days to just decompress and really relax. Because if I take a vacation here, it's not a vacation. Like the
No.
animals have to be taken care of every day. There's always going to be like the off-grid living. It's always work. You can't just come home, sit on the couch, and relax. Like, you know, the so many things need tending to. And then when you go on vacation, like you have someone that needs to come put wood in the fire twice a day so the house doesn't freeze. And then, like, you know, the pipes, when I was gone, they froze, because you know, people sometimes don't use the water as much as if someone would be living here. And then the shower, the only thing this year was the shower. The shower, the P-trap freezes under their cabin, so I have to boil water, put it down the drain, wait like 10 minutes to see if it drains or it has time to melt the ice. And then I can take my shower. And if it doesn't drain, then I have to go into the cabin, put a heater, put the generator on for
Oh.
like 30 minutes to unfreeze the pipe. And then I can take my shower. So that's
Oh.
been the only little hiccup this year. So I have to figure out a different way to do that for next year. But
Right.
I'm pretty happy so far with the way everything's been going.
Oh, good. Okay, that's so interesting. I love learning about all those things. And I think a lot of people don't have no idea. They're like, cool, off grid, cool. And then, but they don't know nothing about any of this stuff.
No, and I mean I know some off-grid people, and everyone will have a different setup. Everyone will have a different way to tackle different problems. So it's very interesting when you do meet people that live off-grid. It's like, how did you like overcome this problem, and how did you do this? And it's just so like so much learning of different ways people have like
Right.
done stuff. It's really cool.
Cool. And it's probably more like their what works for them, like what makes sense for them, or but yeah, you can probably go on a rabbit hole online and find like a lot of different ways too. Like if you Google how to like
And it's overwhelming when you are
it's
building a
overwhelming.
plane because there's so many options, but there's some options that you'll need different kind of stuff on your land to make it work. And not every land is the same way.
Or
But
same
yeah,
climate.
endless possibilities. Very cool.
Oh my gosh, so cool. Thank you for sharing all that. That's
Well,
like
thank you.
really awesome. Okay, so I wanted to know about the animals. So can you tell me a little bit about the different like personalities, like camels versus llamas, alpacas, like what
So they
how
all
are
have
they like?
personalities. The camel is my number one troublemaker. And he's not a troublemaker because he wants to be a troublemaker. He's kind of like, I'll compare him to a golden retriever puppy. He's just kind of clueless and happy and silly and clumsy. He kind of just does his thing. And he's extremely smart. So I would say smarter than a horse. Now, he figured out how to open doors, and he opened my feed room door, and he figured out how to open both the heavy duty door and the normal door with his mouth. Now I have to lock everything up, and so far we've been good. And he ate $1,000 of food. Yeah. And then when he opens that door, he opens that door to all the other animals
Oh my
that
God.
act like they're starving, but they're not. They have food 24/7, so they're not starving. But they see like the packaged food is like treats. And he was so funny. So when I got to the gate and I saw him standing in his graveyard of empty food bags, and he growls. So when he growls, it's usually when he wants to say hello or when he does something bad and he knows he's been a bad boy. And he just looked at me, and when he growls, he puts his head like that and his lips goes down, and he little growl. Anyways, he looked at me and did like a brrr and his little growl. Like, I've been a bad boy. It was like all the bags everywhere. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, Shammy, you're so bad. And then I had to medicate the camel and the llamas because they ate too much food and got sick from it. Yeah, fun stuff.
Oh my
And he likes to bend all my fencing and break it. So he will bend my metal gates with his neck. That's how strong he is.
God.
Just to get the grass on the other side. He's got 10 acres to roam around, but it's always better on the other side, right?
Oh my God.
And then he breaks my gates. He will break the wood paneling. He will break the electric fencing. Doesn't feel it. He's too strong for that. He's like, I'm a big boy. I don't feel the electricity. So doesn't care for that. And yeah, pretty much the only panels that will keep him from breaking it are like $300 for 10 feet. And I've got like 10 acres going on 40 acres. I'm building more pastures for them. But yeah, so he lets all the animals loose. So the llamas see the crack in the gate and they're like, woo, we're gonna go to the field down the road. Luckily, they live on a on dirt road, so there's not a lot of traffic.
Right.
So they go to the field down the road, and then I gotta go with my van, and I just shake a bucket of treat outside the window. And then when they see me, they all come running to the van, and I just run them back home because it's like a kilometer away.
Oh my God.
But yeah, he's bad. So anyways, I have to figure out a fencing for him this summer.
Next
Maybe when
time.
he's got his extra 30 acres, he'll be happy, happier, because he's a pretty happy, quirky little guy. And then the llamas. The camel, he doesn't like to escape. He likes home, so he
Okay.
will break the gate for everyone. The llamas are like, "Thank you, Shirley," and he's like, "All right, my duty's done," and he goes back in the barn.
Oh my God, no way. That's
But
not normal.
the llamas are very quirky and hilarious little creatures. They all have such a unique personality each. Like, we've got one that's very lazy, Pearl. She's the one that we bring to events, and like whenever we have something that she can just lay there and do nothing and just take pictures and have treats, that's her absolute favorite. She's not a big fan of walking, but she is young, and exercise is good for everyone. So I do bring her on walks, at least once a week. She'll have to do a walk just so she walks around a little bit. And then we've got like Kevin, which is a llama, and he's like a super high strung little guy and silly, and he will hike like 20 kilometers with you, no problem. He loves to go hiking. Lots of energy. And then we've got like Linda, which is another llama. She's unique. So she was bought, her previous job before I got her was a guardian llama. So she would protect a herd of sheep against coyotes or any other threat. That's the main job of a llama. And the farmer that I got her from did warn me that Linda, he didn't think was trainable, and that she was different from the rest, but she was also the prettiest. She's a very gorgeous llama. So I'm like, you know what? I'm good with challenges. I'll try her. I always like challenges. Linda took me a good 6 months to train. Usually the other llamas within like a couple months, they're pretty good. Then you just have to socialize them to all kinds of different situations and just like repetition. But Linda, even it's been 4 years I've had Linda, 4 years. She's not allowed to go off property,
Okay.
because previously when we brought her off property, she's a great hiking llama. She will go forever as well, but she's very strong and quirky and sassy. And she would find ways to escape. And if she escapes and she's not on our property or was trailered somewhere off property, she doesn't know how to get back home, she will take 3 days to catch.
Oh
And
my
she will
God.
not come for treats. She will not come for her friends. She will not come for anything. And but she'll come close enough that you can almost grab her. And then she's like, ah, jokes, and she leaves.
Oh my God, no
Yeah.
way.
And she's the only one out of 15 of my llamas that cannot be bribed, and will not come for her friends. All the rest of my llamas, if one goes somewhere, the rest will follow. They're very herd-bound animals, and they like to stay together. But Linda doesn't give a shit for anyone else but Linda. So the others, everyone else, I call them, they'll come to me. I just gotta clap my hands and say, "Come on, guys," and they just all start sprinting to me. And they'll follow me really good, or they'll have a really good recall. But Linda will only come on her terms.
On her terms. Oh
Yeah.
my gosh.
So all kinds of different personality. We've got Steve, that's like the little anxiety ball, and he's always like really high strung, and we don't usually bring him like to stressful stuff because he doesn't deal good with stress. He's good for hiking or for treats and things like that. But yeah, we've got like a llama for every kind of situations, and we kind of when we do our bookings, we'll usually pick them depending on who likes what.
Right.
And like, they're like kids. So, sometimes they have off days. So, we'll be like, all right, today's your day to do nothing.
Right. Oh my gosh. And
Yeah.
what's like emus? I don't know how to say it. Emus.
Oh, the emus.
Emu.
So the emus, they're special. very cool birds, very cool animals. They say that their brain is the size of their eyeball, so very small. Mine are females, which are usually the ones that would be more like aggressive, but they have been very well socialized. So they're very sweet, just kind of very stupid. They don't have the biggest brain. But they are very funny to watch. They'll run around and like the neck will twist in the air and the legs go all over the place and they jump in the air. So they're hilarious to watch. Yeah. But personality-wise, some of them do have personalities. Mine are kind of just like, they're kind of just like there and run around
Like
once
happy
in a
to
while.
be there. Yeah.
They're kind of just like themselves. They
Yeah.
just do their thing.
That's so funny. I think Ateo had Max for the llamas. He's
Oh
a
yes.
for alpaca or llamas? Llama?
Max is a llama. Yeah.
Llama. Okay.
Yeah, and it's funny because the llama, so I have Kevin, Dave, and Max. And they all came from the same farm in PEI when they were like younger. And they all had the exact same training. I got them at the same time, and every day I would copy the same process with everyone, every single day, a couple times a day to get them socialized and trained. And they all ended up so different. So you can just see the personalities just shine through no matter what you do and what training you do. So like Kevin is the hyper one that will hike forever, and he's super silly. He once drank, he chugged someone's gin and tonic once at a wedding.
Oh my gosh.
He absolutely loved it. He was like, "This is the best water I've ever had." So we have to watch him around people's drinks now because, alcohol is not supposed to be good for, I mean, I guess it's not good for humans either, but it's not good for
Right,
them.
but his first
But
time, like.
and like Christmas time, we have to watch him around light bulbs. He thinks light bulbs are just the prettiest thing, and he tries to eat light bulbs, like the Christmas decorations. So yeah, he's kind of the silly hyper one. Then Dave is like medium. He is like a good cuddler. He will come walk with you and be pretty chill usually. Sometimes he'll be stubborn, and then he can like drag you to food when he sees food, of
Right.
course. Then Max is kind of like the lazy one. He's better now. He likes to walk better now, but he enjoys like Pearl more, like events where he gets fed treats, and he will stand like a statue when we bring him to events. And you can feed him and pet him, and he'll just stand there, let people cuddle him, and just not have to move. He loves it.
Do it. Oh, that's so fun. It's how is it different from like people? Is it do you see like do you prefer obviously animals than dealing with people? Less emotion?
I mean, I like both. I find that like the way my business is built, it's built on people coming and having a great time and being positive and learning. So usually every time people come, it's always such a pleasant experience because it
Right.
is such like a fun setting. Like previously, my other business, it was in the medical aesthetic field. If you're tattooing brows on someone, I want them to look natural. I want them to look as good as possible, and I also want the client to love it and be
Right.
happy with them. So it's a lot of pressure on your shoulders to, tattoo something that's, semi-permanent on someone's face. And I mean, if you mess up, it's gonna you can ruin someone's life and like cause them
Right.
so much stress, right? So it was a very stressful job in that way. So the llamas, it was a different kind of stress because of the lifestyle and the workload. But it's just such a positive, like a positive, fun job. Like that's my favorite part, is the tours and the animal time. It ends up being like one quarter of the job. There's a lot of unpleasant stuff to do to have the pleasant stuff, but that's the best.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love that so much. It's so interesting
Yeah.
to learn. And then I realized that I don't go like I don't make the time or become intentional like to go, do you know what I mean, do those type of things like as often as probably we should. Like, oh, let's go like
Yeah.
walk
And I
around.
mean, Doing those activities does come with a cost as well,
Right.
which, I get not everyone can afford to always do fun activities and things like that, but it's a good treat once in a while.
Yeah. And I
Yeah.
mean, sometimes just like there's farms, like just going to see the cows in like Boma or something. Do you know what I mean? Like just
Yeah,
random.
yeah, yeah. Like a lot of people will
It's
drive
fun.
by and just park at the end of the road and watch the animals in the field. And that's their
Yeah.
little drive of the day. They got to see a, like, every time people drive by, they're like, "Is that a camel?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it is a camel." They're like, "No, it can't be a camel in Canada."
Right?
Yeah.
There's a lot we don't know, like when you're not working in or with animals like that, right? So.
Absolutely. I mean, he is the only camel in the Maritimes, I believe, that is privately owned.
Oh, okay.
I haven't heard of anyone else that has a camel except from like the zoos. Maybe someone else has one, but I have been looking to purchase another camel to keep Shammy company, even though he has like no idea he's a camel.
Right.
So he was like originally he came from an auction. And in Ontario, and then I like since he was a baby, he hasn't been with other camel because the guy I bought him from didn't have any other camel, and I don't have any camel, so he thinks he's a horse. He plays with
Right.
the horses, he acts like a horse sometimes. Other times he likes to hang out with the llamas more. So they're all free to mingle together. They all get along great, so they do what they want when they want to. But all the camel leads that I found were scams.
Oh, no
So a lot
way.
of scams, yeah. And there is some in the States that I could purchase, but it's such a high price. By the time that you pay the exchange rate, you go through the, I think it's 120 days of quarantine
Oh,
they
my.
have to go through to come to Canada. And then all the legal paperwork and then the shipping, because like the place that I found some camels, it was like a 5-day drive, so it's a long shipping process to get them there. So yeah, just not, I'd have to invest like a good $20,000-$30,000, probably even more, to get a camel here. So not in the budgets,
Right.
unfortunately. Yeah.
When, yeah, it might like, yeah, when things are supposed to happen, they'll happen, right? Usually
Yeah.
you keep looking. That's funny
One day.
that there are scams for camels. Like, who would,
Lots of scams.
I never
Yeah.
would have thought like that
And
would.
they were so funny story. I had went to visit a farm in Sussex when before I was building the farm. This farmer had like a building of each. He had like an ICF building. It's like a concrete building. He had the domes, he had the metal buildings, he had the wood structure, the pole barns, he had everything. So he's like, "You're free to come here and check it out and see which one you'd rather and get all the information you need." So I went for a visit, and then checked everything out. Awesome farm, great people. And then maybe I think it was like a week later or 2 weeks later, I found a camel for sale on Facebook and messaged them. They sounded like kind of legit. And then they gave me the address to go see the camel. And then when I looked at the address, and they gave me like a day and time and an address and everything. Okay, so it sounded legit. The address they gave me was that farmer that I went to visit. And I knew for 100% they had no camels.
Right.
So then I'm like, okay, I'm like, you're a friggin' scam.
God.
I'm sure like some people would have drove there to go see a camel and they go there and it's only cows.
Like,
I'm not sure what
why?
the purpose of that, but
So weird. Oh, anyway.
yeah, weird things like that.
Strange world. Well,
It's crazy, but
it's, yeah, it's weird.
yeah.
So I feel like we went through a lot already. So I'll ask you one last thing, I guess, for people that might not already follow you. Where should people go find you, like online? Like, where can they learn more or book a
So
like a what?
we have the online booking on our website, lamazingadventures.ca. So people can go and look through the booking system and see what we have available. And then if nothing is available that works for you guys, we can always custom book some bookings. So you just got to call us or send us a message with When is a good time and the amount of people, and then we can book that. And then we also have we post, I think, more on Facebook. We're a bit we have a bigger presence on Facebook. We have an Instagram and we have a TikTok. So usually all our updates and all the information will be posted on Facebook. And TikTok is kind of where we post all the funny stuff that the animals do or whatever's going around the farm. So yeah, I enjoy doing little TikTok videos of them. They have lots of funny things they do.
Oh, that's amazing. Lummy, that's lummy.
It's amazing, yes.
Oh, well, thank you so much. This was so much fun, and I
Well,
learned
thank
like a
you.
lot. So I'm sure everyone's gonna love hearing like everything you had to say. And I really feel like it was we went on all the sides, like
There's
personally,
definitely a lot of sides, yeah.
we can connect to a lot of things here. So this is so great. So thank
Well,
you so much.
thank you
You're welcome. And so a reminder to the listeners to go do something that lights you up today. Okay,
so
bye.
much